Hey, good morning. Any questions anyone has for me before I get started? Anything going on? Okay, so on Friday we finished up with the summation handout, so I've gone through chapters 8, 9, all the correlation stuff, and the summation with correlation stuff. So I wanted to kind of review a little bit before I get on to chapter 10. I've said some of this before, but I just want to say it again now that we moved a little farther. So I did a little bit of a review as we were getting into correlation. And I'll say a little bit about what's coming in chapters 10, 11, and 12 in here. So what we've done so far is chapter 3, histograms. That's how we started the course, and then chapter 4 does summary statistics, average, median, and SD. And chapter 5 talks about the normal curve. So in particular, if histogram looks normal. We can do a bunch of stuff. So I'll just say that stuff and not write it down. We can use the, most states using the normal table. You can convert into standard units and use the normal table to figure out areas above, below, whatever. You can figure out if you're given, or if you're asked for like the 90th percentile, you can figure out what that should be in standard units, right? If 90% of the area is to the left, 80% is in the middle, figure out what that value would be in standard units and figure out what number that should be. So if we did an example in class finding the 90th percentile of height for some data. Okay, so you can sort of go back and forth from a value like a height, find the area above or below that point, and you can also go from percentile rank back to whatever the x value would be, like a height or whatever. Okay, so that's what's going on in chapter 5. It's some stuff that we can do if the histogram looks normal. So I want to, again, I said some of this already. So chapters 8 and 9 kind of parallel all this stuff. Instead of a histogram now for two variables, so this is all one variable stuff. This is two variable stuff. We have a picture, which is a scatter diagram or a scatter plot. And we have R, correlation, as a summary statistic. Okay, so that's basically what we've done, what we did last week. We defined correlation. We talked about what it, you know, sort of means, the strength of the linear association. We talked about properties of correlation, how to calculate it. In chapter 9, we got in a little bit into these different cases of nonlinear scatter plots and outliers and ecological correlation and some other kind of side issues. But the main part of chapters 8 and 9 is to think about scatter plots and correlation. And then now, and then we did summation. So that's sort of where we are right now. Okay. So the next thing is to sort of fill in this bit here. What do we do with it? Okay. So chapters 10 through 12, will basically say if scatter plot is football shaped, we can do a bunch of stuff. Okay? So starting with chapter 10, we'll start doing that stuff. Okay? So I'll talk a little bit more about what football shaped means and why that's important. Just like here, we talked about, maybe here it's a little bit more obvious. It needs to follow the normal curve in order to look the way the normal table looks and have the right areas. So it can't have like a long left tail or a long right tail, stuff like that. So I already talked a little bit about contrasting football shaped with nonlinear scatter plots and also with outliers, okay? That those are sort of the bad cases. But we'll talk a little bit more about what this means specifically right now. Are there any questions about those parallels? Any of those ideas? Okay. So football-shaped means three things. And the last one, well, I'll maybe say when I get there. We don't really know enough, or you don't really know enough to understand what the last one is all about yet. Once we hit chapter 11, we'll talk about it more. But the first two should be familiar. It means that it's linear with no outliers. So this essentially means it doesn't have any of those bad things that come up in chapter 9. Right? The bad things are nonlinear and outliers. And then the second one is that x and y follow the normal curve. And that's all I'm going to tell you right now. There's a little bit I'm going to add to the second one, actually, once we hit chapter 11, but I'll just leave it. This is the only part that we care about for right now. And the third thing is that it's homoscedastic. So this is a word that we don't know yet, homoscedastic. I'll say what it means, but again, I'm not going to really address it in detail until we hit chapter 11. So this means that you have the same scatter or spread in vertical strips. So I'll say just a couple words so that you kind of understand that, but at least a little bit. So suppose we have height and weight. Okay. Actually, I'm not even going to draw a picture. Suppose we have height and weight, and we look at the weights of all the 5-foot tall people and the weights of all the 6-foot tall people. So there's some spread in those, right? The 5-foot tall people are not all the same height. There's some variability in their heights. And the 6-foot tall also has some variability in their heights. What homoscedastic is saying is that variability is pretty close. That if you look at the spread of the weights of the 5-foot tall people and the spread of the weights of the 6-foot tall people, those spreads should be about the same. Okay? So we'll talk about that more in chapter 11, but just enough information for you to get some feeling for what that's about. Okay? The first two are, you know, we've talked a lot about, well, I've talked a little bit at least about this and a lot about the normal curve. Okay? Any questions about that? Yeah. It has nothing to do with R. This is a completely side issue from the value of R. You can have something that looks football-shaped that has any correlation. I suppose if R is equal to 1 or negative 1, we call that football-shaped even though it's just a line. Okay? So in that sense, if you know that it's 1 or negative 1, then you know what the picture looks like. But other than that, they sort of don't have anything to do with each other. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so maybe just to give a quick thought about that, you can have a strong correlation that follows maybe, sorry, I'm trying to draw sort of part of a parabola. R is quite strong here. But it's not football-shaped, they don't follow a line. Whereas you'd say like something like this maybe has a similar correlation, but the dots follow a football rather than following some other relationship. So this would be nonlinear, this would be linear. Okay. All right. All right, so let's officially enter chapter 10 now. The football-shaped stuff is sort of, I don't know, we talked about it a little bit in chapter 9. It's a little bit separate from the flow of the book in a way. Yeah.
Can I say because when R equals 0, it means no outliers bound trend. So I can say football shape means R is not
0. No, I wouldn't say that either. She said if R is 0, you could also have pictures like, I think I drew a triangle before, right? R is 0 in that picture. R is also 0 in this picture. I would call that football-shaped, even though it's, you know, a completely fat football. Or if you want, you could just draw it as a side. You don't have to draw it completely round. I meant that to be correlation zero. I could draw it. I'm trying to draw this symmetrically. Suppose I literally drew a football, right? Okay, that has correlation zero. Okay, so no upward or downward trend. Okay. Could you have correlation zero like that? Could have correlation zero like that. So again, it's sort of separate from the issue of whether or not the size of the correlation is sort of separate from what the shape actually looks like. In the same sense, you know, if you think about chapter 5, you know, you can have, if you know the average in the SD, you don't really have any idea if it looks like the normal curve, right? You don't know if, based on the average of the D, well, I shouldn't say that. Yeah, so generally, if you know the average in the SD, you don't have any idea what it looks like. If you have something like, there's some examples in the book, like with income, where you have an average of $50,000 and an SD of $50,000, say, and there aren't any negative incomes, then you sort of know that it has to have a long right tail. It kind of has to be spread out to the right, because it can't sort of crunched up on the left side at zero, but then since it has an SD of 50, you kind of know it has to spread on the right. So, but generally, if you know the average in the SD, it doesn't tell you the shape of the histogram. In the same sort of way, knowing R doesn't really tell you anything about what the shape of the scatter diagram is. Okay? Any other questions about that? Okay, so chapter 10 is about what's called regression. And I'll wait just a little bit before I define what that, well, I'll say a couple words about that. So regression attempts to, or is it a technique? Regression is a technique for estimating the average y value for a particular x value. Okay. So for example, for the little height and weight example we were talking about, if you know someone's height, then regression gives you a way of guessing their weight. Okay. So a good guess would be the average weight for everyone with that height. Right? So if you think about someone who's 6 feet tall or whatever, and you want to attempt to guess their weight, regression gives a sort of intelligent way to do it. And again, what it's really doing is it's estimating the average weight for everyone who's 6 feet tall, which is a pretty sensible guess. If you just have one person, all you know about them is their height, guessing the average weight of everyone just like them is a pretty good thing to do. Okay? So that's the background idea of what regression does. So let's talk through a little example before we get into how to do it. I'm going to do a series of pictures where I'm trying to predict foot length from different variables. So, I'm trying to predict foot length. Typically, the thing that I want to predict, I'll put on the y-axis, and the thing that I'm predicting from, I'll put on this axis. So suppose I wanted to predict someone's foot length based on their GPA. So what do you think the correlation is going to be like? It's presumably going to be pretty close to zero. If not zero, okay? So the picture, right, so it looks something like that, roughly a circle. And if we were going to guess someone's foot length based on their GPA, suppose we had someone, so the point of averages, remember, is the point in the middle there. Point of averages is just, you know, average GPA, average foot length. And suppose we wanted to guess someone's foot length, who's one SD above average for GPA. So let me. This is GPA. Say this is the average, and over here I have average plus one SD. So what do you think a good guess might be for that person's foot length?
Average foot length.
Average foot length, right? So the idea of regression in general is going to be. And I'm not saying this is regression. I'm just kind of talking about what a good guess would be. A good guess might be the average foot length of everyone just like that person. Okay? So, you know, when I SDB average for GPA, it doesn't really tell us that that person should either have long feet or short feet, right? There's no sort of correlation zero means there's sort of no upward or downward trend. So the average of, I'm thinking about the average of all these feet, right? We have all the people that have a GPA 1 SD above average, their feet are on average the same as the overall average. Okay? So for GPA with, I'll say it this way, with standard units equal to 1, right? Standard units equal to 1 means 1 SD above average. Predict foot length. And I'll say this in standard units also. SU equals 0. Okay? All right. Any questions about that first one? Okay. So let's sort of go to the other, sort of towards the other extreme, which is when we have something that's very correlated. Okay? So shoe size and foot length probably has a correlation. What? Close to one. Probably not equal to one, because two people with the same shoe size, you know, their feet might be a little bit different. Might be off by some, you know, fraction of an inch difference. So the scatter plot maybe looks something like this. R is close to one. And there's the point of averages. So now let's think about someone that's one SD above average. Make room here. So this is shoe size. And there's the average. Here's someone who is 1 SD above average again. So what do you think you should predict for their foot length? Certainly above average, right? If correlation is actually equal to 1, what can you say about their feet? Yeah, if it's actually equal to 1, then if you're 1 SD above average here, you should be 1 SD above average here. Okay, so it's going to be close, right? There's not very much variability in these feet, and so the predicted value is going to be, just about 1 SD above average. So for shoe size, SU equal 1, predict foot length, SU about 1. Okay. So I'm talking, I just want you to give you the intuitive idea. If it were equal to 1, if the correlation were equal to 1, then we'd predict the same thing. We'd predict for someone's standard units equal to 1, you'd predict standard units 1 for foot length. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay. So now let's think about something that you might see more typically. We're kind of in between correlation, foot length and height. So what do you think about the correlation here? Yeah.
It would be close to 1, but not as close to the shoe size foot length.
Yeah, not as close as that, right? So you know, taller people tend to have longer feet, but there's more variability than with shoe size and foot length. So I'll draw this, say. Okay. So let's think about the same problem here. There's the average. Here's the average plus 1 SD. What do you think is going to happen here when we try to predict foot length? Any thoughts? It's less obvious, I think. Yeah.
Less than a full SD above average.
Predict less than a full SD above average. Any other thoughts? Guesses? That's right. I'm trying to lead you there a little bit by doing these examples in this sequence. This is sort of in between. So let's think about what happens. You know, if you look at it, maybe it looks that way. That point, the average in that strip, is pretty close, is not as extreme as that, okay? Meaning that this distance here is not as big as that distance there if you're just working in standard units, okay? So I'm going to say it, and then I'll summarize a little bit. So for height with SU equal 1, predicted foot length is it's sort of in between. So I'll just say for now it's in between these two cases. Is in between SU equals 0 and SU equals 1. Certainly, standard units should be above 0 because, you know, you expect someone who's tall to have above average foot length. But not quite as extreme as in the picture up there. Okay? So one way you might think about that, a couple ways you might think about that. One is that which would you rather know? Like, would you rather know someone's shoe size or would you rather know someone's height if you're trying to predict foot length? Well, you'd rather know their shoe size, right? So it's going to give better predictions. And in addition to that, the prediction is going to be bigger up there, right, than it is here. So that distinction between these two cases is kind of fundamental to what's going on with regression. So let me kind of summarize those three pictures, and then we'll talk about how to do it, how to actually figure out what it should be in that last case. So let's leave that for a minute. So all those cases, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking it, that they're football shaped, okay? And we'll see why that's important in a little bit. So first of all, just let me just define what's called the regression method. So again, regression is a technique for estimating that average value of y for a particular x value. So we're trying to do it for each of these three cases. I'm sorry, before I define it, I'm going to give a little summary table of this. So we have so the x variable that we're predicting from, we have these three cases. We have GPA, shoe size, and height. So I'll make a column for correlation, R. And for GPA, I'll say close to 0. Maybe it's actually equal to 0. And for shoe size, close to 1. And for height, it's sort of in between. And I'll say this is predicted foot length when x has standard units equal to 1, meaning we're thinking about, just like we did over there, when each of these is 1 SD above average, what would we predict for y? So predicted foot length in standard units. Oops. Predicted foot length in standard units. Okay. So when the predicted, so for GPA, correlation is close to 0. We're going to predict foot length. You know, if it's equal to 0, we would predict standard units equal to 0. So if we're just saying close to 0, I'll say close to 0 here. Maybe I'll put this in parentheses here. If it were equal to 0, we'd predict 0. If it's close to 0, we predict close to 0. Okay, so if you just leave out the words in parentheses, it's true. If you leave the words in parentheses in, it's true. It's close to. And I'll do the same thing here and say close to 1. Well, if it's close to 1, then the predicted foot length is close to 1. If it's actually equal to 1, then you should predict 1. So it might take a little bit before you believe both of those. I'm not sure. So think about them. Convince yourself. And then the next step, the real... I think intuitively, I think, somewhat challenging thing to convince yourself of is that this one should be in between. And in fact, the answer is R in all these cases. So if you predict foot length when X has standard units equal to 1, you predict R. This is just whatever R is. If you have X value equal to 1 in standard units, then you predict that Y should be R in standard units. Okay. So my point just is that these two columns are in fact the same. All right? So questions about that? I'll talk about it a little bit more, but. So I think if you haven't seen this before, that should be a little bit surprising. So let's talk about it a little bit more. And I want to talk now about a case that's sort of in between these. So I'm going to just draw here. I've drawn this attempting to make it really, truly equal to 0. But let's make it just a little bit positive. So if we have, like, I'm trying to draw something where you have just a very slight positive correlation. Maybe R is 0.1 or something. Okay, pretty small. Then what happens when you get out here is that you haven't really, the average y value hasn't changed very much, right, in that strip. So it's going up a little bit. You know, if you have just a very slight positive correlation, then when you have someone 1 SD above average here, you don't see much change here. So I'm just saying a little bit different from this picture, where we just make the sort of tilt things up just a little bit. And you might imagine that, okay, so for some reason, there might be a very slight correlation between GPA and foot length. I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying maybe there's some weird reason why there's a very slight correlation, okay? So if you had that case and you had someone with a 4.0 GPA, it would be a little bit strange to then predict that that person has, like, really big feet, right? So I think you should at least intuitively see that with a slight positive correlation, you're not going to get that case. You're not going to predict that the standard units are going to be the same for both variables, right? So what you're going to predict for the GPA of 4.0 with just a very slight positive correlation is that person has slightly bigger feet on average. The people that have a 4.0 GPA have slightly longer feet than average. As you get closer and closer to a correlation of 1, sort of two things happen. The football gets thinner, narrower, and also, the predicted value is going to get closer and closer to whatever the x was in standard units. This is sort of an intermediate step of trying to convince yourself that the real answer should be, you know, predict 0.1 SDs above average for someone 1 SD above average in that case. Okay, any questions, thoughts, intuition? Okay, all right, so we'll talk a little bit more about this phenomenon, what's going on here with regression. But I want to give you the steps and do an example. So I guess I'll leave the football shape definition up there. So I'm going to write down what the regression method says, and then I'll talk just a little bit more before I do an example. Yeah. So we'll use what's called the regression method. So this is basically a method for doing regression, for doing this prediction of y based on x. And there are three steps. The first step is to convert x into standard units. The second step is to multiply by R. And that second step gives you predicted Y value in standard units. So that's really the regression step. The first step of converting X into standard units is just sort of making all the data sets behave the same way. Once they're all in standard units, they all sort of look the same. Okay, and the last step is to convert out of standard units. right? So what I've talked about through these examples was basically just working in standard units, right? When x has standard unit 1, what regression says we should do is first convert x into standard units. I've sort of done that, right? You have standard unit 1 for all those examples. Then multiplication by r, you just get r. And like I said, that gives you the predicted y value in standard units. So that second step says, okay, standard units 1, multiply by r, that means that the predicted y value will always be r in standard units. If you actually wanted to get a foot length out of it, then you would need to figure out what the average and the SD of foot length are, and then convert out of standard units. All right? So questions about the steps? So that's sort of, you know, see that that's consistent with what I've been doing for this example. And then let me draw one more picture before I do an example. Say a little bit about what that's actually giving you. So I'm just going to draw kind of a generic football shape scatter diagram, somewhat positive correlation, looks maybe about like this, or about like height and weight, or some example with somewhat positive correlation. And what I'm going to put on here is first the point of averages. I won't bother labeling that. That's just that point in the middle. And then a little bit. So I'm going to draw these vertical strips. And the book does this kind of picture a lot. And what that's meant to do is give you a strip where all the x values are essentially the same. The reason the book, it might be a little bit nicer if the book just drew a line there with the point in the middle, but the problem is for a lot of data, you might not have a lot of values like right on that line with some specific value. So by giving it a little bit of width, the book calls it a strip. And the idea is still the same, that you're talking about finding the average y value for everyone that has basically the same x value. So some x value here, you know, sort of visually imagine finding the center within each of those strips, okay? And it turns out that for a football-shaped scatter diagram, those points are roughly on a line. In an ideal world, they would be exactly on a line. The only reason that they're not exactly on a line is because there's a little bit of natural variability in data, right? If you actually had real heights and weights, it's not like a law that says that if you took the average weight of everyone of that height, it has to be that point. You might have a couple people that are a little bit heavier or a little bit lighter in any particular data set. So it might vary a little bit, but kind of according to this idealized football, they're on a line. Okay? In real life, it might be a little bit off. So the book shows some examples of this. This is what's called the graph of averages. So this graph of averages gives the average y for different x's. Different x values. Okay, so that's this collection of points. Okay. So if we have something football shaped, graph of averages. Is very close to a line. And that line is called the regression line. Okay, another way to talk about the regression line is to say that the regression line is a smoothed version of the graph of averages. So basically, I can draw a line that pretty much goes through those points, more or less. Okay. So again, those points might not be exactly on the line. So maybe missed by a little bit here and there. So maybe, you know, I'll draw one that maybe kind of intentionally misses by a little bit more just to illustrate that there's the line. It might be that the average is down there. We expect the average to be right on that line, but it might be a little bit off. Okay, maybe I'll draw it up there. Maybe it looks a little bit more natural. Okay, so they might be a little bit off, but they should follow the line pretty closely. And the points on the regression line, I mean, doing the regression method, what you're doing is you're finding points on this line. Okay? And those should be very good guesses because they are close to the graph of averages in general. They're not always right on the graph of averages. And in particular, the football-shaped part is important. Okay? It's important that it be the relationship be linear with no outliers. So let's look at what happens if it's not linear. So if you have something that looks like this or something, where you have some cloud of points that is not football shaped, it looks like this or something, then what happens if we try to find the graph of averages is this. Again, we're sort of have the same idea that you want to find the average value within each vertical strip. But now those points don't follow a line, right? So graph of averages doesn't follow a line. And the regression line still exists, and the regression method can still be used, but it's not going to give you very good answers. The regression line might look something like this in this case. It might go sort of through this like this, and it's doing a pretty bad job, right? If this somehow were height and weight, height and weight would sort of never look like this, right? That somehow taller people, the very tall people weigh less than the medium height people would be strange, right? But if for some reason the relationship were nonlinear, what regression would do is it would be choosing the points on the line to make predictions, and they'd be pretty bad because they don't follow the graph of averages. That doesn't tell you the average y value for each of these x values. Whereas here, if there's a linear relationship, it's doing a really good job. Okay? Similarly, if there are outliers, like we have some points like this or something, and then we have one way up here, and I'm trying to match these up to have the same x value. Well, the graph of averages is kind of weird here. The graph of averages, if you took the graph of averages at this point, we'd get this x here. And everywhere else, we just get this one value itself. So that graph of averages, again, is not on a line. So the regression line is not going to do a very good job of following the graph of averages. It might do a pretty reasonable job. It might do something like this, roughly. So it's not going to do horrible in this case, but it's not going to do great. Okay? It's not going to be doing the same thing as over here, where you have a linear relationship with no outliers. Okay? So these are two quick cases where it's bad. This is outliers, or outlier. So this point up here is an outlier. Okay, any questions about that? Kind of the case where it fails? Two cases where it fails? Okay. So, let's finally do an example where it works well. So I'll do this example for some midterm and final scores. So suppose we have a midterm where the average score is 71 with an SD of 12, and a final with an average of 70 with an SD of 11, and R is 0.6, and I tell you the scatter diagram is football shaped. All right. So now I want to predict final score of someone who got 83 on the midterm. So I'm essentially thinking about this picture, and if this is the person that got, I'll redraw it, I guess, real quick. The person that got a midterm score of 83, I want to figure out what this point should be on the graph of averages. I can't actually directly, like, I'm not going to actually look at all the scores. I'm not going to look at all the final scores of the people who got 83 on the midterm. That actually might be a smart thing to do if I had the raw data, is like actually look at it, right? Actually take, you know, maybe I don't know which person this is, but if I have the data, I can look at everyone that got a midterm score of 83, take the average of their final scores, okay? So suppose I can't do that. All I know is the summary statistics. What I can do is find the point on the regression line. It should be quite close. Okay, so the idea here is to follow the regression method. So regression method says, step one, convert x to standard units. So what is x to standard units? It's one, right? This is someone one SD above average. I can do the math. So standard units is 83 minus average of 71 divided by an SD of 12. That's one. Or maybe you just can see it, right? That's someone one SD above average. Okay, so that's step one. Step two is to multiply by R. So we take that value of 1 in standard units, multiply by R, which is 0.6, and we get 0.6. So we're predicting this person will do 0.6 SDs above average on the final. And then we want to convert that 0.6 into a sort of out of standard units into an actual final score. So that's 0.6 SDs above average, right? So I don't know if you've memorized the formula for that. I'm just going to talk through it. So 0.6 SDs above average for a final score. If you're 0.6 SDs above average, 0.6 times the SD of 11 plus the average of 70, that's what your final score is going to be. The formula for it is standard units times the SD plus the average. But I sort of just think about it in English. What standard units means is, if it's 0.6, 0.6 SDs above average. Okay, so that's 76.6. So that's that point. So I'll kind of squeeze in a picture here. We have this picture like this. We have 71 as the average midterm. This is midterm down here, final up here. And we have 83. So what we've done is find this point, 76.6. It's the average final score of the people that got 83 on the midterm. Okay, any questions about that? Okay, let me do one more example. I think I have time. Yeah, okay, cool. So suppose MSAT scores and Stat21 grades, which I mean, by grades I don't mean letter grades, I mean like total points. Suppose those two variables have a correlation of 0.6. I think that's definitely too high, but I'll just use it. And the scatter diagram is football shaped. So suppose we have someone who is at the 31st percentile of MSAT score, and I want to predict their Stat21 percentile rank. So predict percentile rank. Stat21 for someone at 21st percentile, sorry, 31st percentile. 31st percentile on MSAT. So I'm just considering it 31st percentile on MSAT amongst STAT 21 students, not like whatever you got on your MSAT results, but the percentile rank amongst these students. So amongst STAT 21 students. Okay, so first question is, can I do this problem? Any thoughts? Someone say yeah? How many people think we can do this problem? See if people are, what about think we can't do this problem? So most people are not sure or unwilling to say. But other people, it's, I think maybe more people said they could do it. Yeah?
Because the correlation is close to the one maybe it's
somewhere. It's what?
I said that the correlation is close to one maybe it's linear.
It's linear because of this. Okay. I don't know if people heard him. He said since the correlation maybe is pretty strong, pretty close to one, then maybe it's linear. So that's separate, right? So the idea of football shaped and being linear or not is separate from the correlation. If you have correlation equal to one or very, very close to one, then the points have to be pretty close to a line. But they still don't actually have to be linear. You might have something like that picture I drew before with a very slight curve to it or something like that, which is not quite linear. But yeah, this I think you could have something pretty strongly nonlinear with 0.6. Okay? But it's football shape, so it's fine. Any other comments? So we can do this. It's maybe a little bit surprising that we don't need any more information than the correlation here. In that problem, I needed to know the averages and the SDs. But if you think about what the steps are of regression method, the first step is to convert X into standard units. Well, if you're at the 31st percentile, I don't actually need to know what the average and the SD of MSAT scores is. The first step of the regression method is, like I said, to convert to standard units. And I can do that based on the normal curve. I can figure out what that is as a Z value. This is someone where this area to the left is 31%. Right? They're right at the 31st percentile, so the area to the left is 31%. And number two for football shape says that X and Y follow the normal curve. I do need to know that, right? I do need to know that this normal curve is valid, but if it is football shaped and X follows the normal curve, then that area is 31%. I have a symmetrical area of 31% over here. That leaves 38% in the middle. And then this Z value is minus 0.5 if you look it up, right? So you need to use the normal table. That's how I'm getting the minus 0.5. If you look up 38%, you get negative 0.5. So that step is convert X into standard units, right? Just like the regression method says I can do. So again, I didn't need to know the average and the SD of Y if I'm just working in percentiles. Okay? All right, so then the second step is to multiply by R. So minus 0.5 times the correlation of 0.6, and we get minus 0.3. So that's the predicted Y value in standard units. Okay? So now I want to convert out of standard units for the third step. So in the other problem, you know, I needed to know the average and the SD to do this third step of converting out of standard units. But again, here, as long as Y follows the normal curve, which it does since it's football shaped, I can draw a normal curve again. And all I want to do is get this percent, right? The percent of people that are below. This is minus 0.3. If you look that up, you get an area in the middle of 24% about. And then but there are different ways to do this. Maybe I'll do it this way. If we sort of split that in half, we get 12 and 12. And that area to the left is then going to be 50 minus 12. That's one way to do that. Or I think the more common way that you're used to seeing this is just 100 minus 24 over 2. Either way you want to do it is fine. So that's 38%. So that means that if someone is at 31st percentile for MSAT scores, we predict that they're going to do better than 38% of the people on in the stat 21 grades. So before I let you go, I just want to mention one thing about this, which is that these are different, right? 34% there, 38% there. Let's think about someone who's at the 90th percentile for MSAT scores. For MSAT. So you might hope, if you were at the 90th percentile for MSAT scores, that you would be at the 90th percentile for STAT 21 grades. But that's not actually what regression would predict. So it might seem a little bit unfair that what regression is going to predict is that you get something closer to the average, right? Your percentile rank is going to be lower than 90%, right? So that maybe seems a little bit weird, but that's what the multiplication by R does, is this multiplication by, you're always multiplying by something between negative 1 and 1. So it's always getting closer to 0 in standard units. And that's a phenomenon called regression to the mean, and we'll talk about it on Wednesday. Question? It's a random occurrence that this area in the middle is 38%, and the area to the left here is 38%. That's just a coincidence, yeah. Okay, so I've done chapter 10, sections 1, 2, and 3, basically, and next time I'll do sections 4 and 5, which talks about this thing called the regression effect, or regression to the mean. Okay, bye.